And then Ninko and Nika tomorrow, both sessions on bodhicitta.
Morning session bodhicitta.
And afternoon.
Afternoon is the public.
Yeah, so it's more like good heart.
It's question and answer over Buddhist practices for daily life.
All right. So the topic is bodhicitta, the awakening mind. In general, and we cover that again tomorrow morning. In general, in terms of the awakening mind, there are two ways to meditate on it. The six cause and one effect method of meditation and the equalizing, exchanging self for others. And so tonight I'm going to do an overview of the six cause and one effect way of meditation, and at the end we will actually spend some time and do the meditation. Okay, so why we begin by explaining the meditation is because when you have kind of a definite understanding of the seven points of the meditation, then when you later when you return to actually meditate on it, you have kind of an understanding which acts as the basis for your meditation. If you don't have an understanding at the basis of those points, then when you go to meditate, you lack a focus for the meditation, so naturally the mind starts to wander or you start to get sleepy. So these kind of explanations is so that you're developing your understanding, which is your meditative base. So in the same way that later when you meditate on it, by having a kind of a clearer understanding, then you kind of recall the explanation to mind, and that gives you the sequence and again gives you a basis on which to develop your meditation. Okay. So again, in meditating on bodhicitta, on the awakening mind, you need a basis of understanding overall cyclic existence, both one's own experience within cyclic existence and in general the situation of cyclic existence. Because again, if one has not trained the mind in this understanding at all, it becomes difficult to generate the basis for bodhicitta.
Okay,
Okay. So, beginning, I'm just reminding you about the situation of cyclic existence, that one's own situation. And I know we've covered this before, but this is just to kind of, for you to recall it to mind. So we have the different sufferings of birth, sickness and so forth, that whatever being is born within cyclic existence will either take a happy or suffering rebirth, and within that will meet many different experiences of happiness and suffering, of illness, aging and death. And all of these arise from the two causes of karma and afflictive emotion. So that situation is not created by an external creator, but arise from karma and afflictive emotion. And in terms of the karmic causes, you have the ripening of one karma that produces that birth, and then before that karmic cause for that birth is finished, you are already accumulating hundreds and thousands of more karmic causes. And so that, and you accumulate those karmas under the power of reflective emotion, and accumulating all those causes, this is why it is said that cyclic existence has no end. Okay. So, in terms of taking a happy or suffering rebirth, that whichever type physical form one takes, there is not an enduring attainment of happiness in that situation. And so this is one's own situation when cycling within cyclic existence. And like oneself, every other sentient being has a similar situation within cyclic existence. And we are connected to, we are not unconnected to other beings. We have a connection with every living being. There is a method that brings an end to suffering, and so therefore one determines one will practice the method that ends suffering, but not just for oneself alone, but that all sentient beings be free of suffering. And with this in mind, then one trains in the awakening mind in bodhicitta. So that like oneself, other sentient beings likewise circle within cyclic existence, and therefore thinking of this, one determines one will liberate other beings from cyclic existence, and to be able to do that, one gives rise to the wish to attain Buddhahood. And so in cultivating this thought, then you have this six cause and one effect meditation, or the meditations on equalizing and exchanging self and others. And whichever of these meditations one is cultivating, it one, the first stage is the meditation on equanimity. So in so we cultivate this meditation of equanimity, or an equal attitude between oneself and other beings. And so one sees that the basis of this thinking is seeing that whether it is a stranger or a friend or an enemy, that they are all the same, in that one has had those different relationships with every one of those people. That they may be a stranger now, but sometimes they've been a friend. They may be a friend now, but sometimes they've been a stranger, or the person you dislike, the enemy. Likewise, the enemy has sometimes been a stranger or a friend. And if you're going to think of this in a more extensive way, then you can visualize the three people representing those three states in front of oneself. One visualizes someone that one doesn't get on with, that one considers like an enemy who harms oneself. One visualizes like a friend, or you know, a close friend or relative, someone that's dear to oneself. And then a stranger, someone that one doesn't know. And then you look at those three people and you see, for example, you think of beginningless lifetimes and realize that while at this point that person may seem like the enemy, in some previous lifetime they have been your friend, in another lifetime they have been a stranger to you. So they have equally had those three relationships with them. That in a previous lifetime, the person who is a close and dear one now, in a previous lifetime was a stranger or someone you disliked like an enemy. And likewise, the person who is a stranger now, they are not always a stranger to you. In some previous lifetime, they were close and dear, and sometimes they were like the enemy. And so seeing that one has had these relationships with those three beings, one cultivates an equal attitude towards them. Okay, so that generally we regard them in this way based on the temporary situation in this lifetime, that one is generally, yes, basing one's attitude on a temporary harm or a temporary benefit. But if one looks at the actual situation, one has had these three types of relationships over the long term, these three types of relationship with them. And in essence, the only difference is the timing of the relationship. There's no difference in the relationships themselves. And that our general way of thinking is like a hallucinated mind that's actually mistaken. Okay. And so at the same time when you're meditating on this, you can recall to mind quotations, like if there are quotations from Sutra or quotations from Nagarjuna that help you kind of get the sense of the meditation, you can recall to mind those words. And whether one is using the six cause and one effect process or equalizing and exchanging self with others, if one doesn't get a sense, an understanding of equanimity first, then it becomes difficult to proceed with the later stages of the meditation. Okay. So having completed a reflection on equanimity, then one comes to the point of recognizing beings as one, having been one's mother. Recognizing that any living being, there's no living being who has not been one's mother at some time. And again, the basis of this reasoning is beginningless lifetimes. And that in taking rebirth, then one will either take it through a womb rebirth, through an egg, or through a miraculous rebirth. In terms of the womb, then for the womb birth to be taken, one depends on the mother. And so, over beginningless lifetimes, therefore there is no one who has not been at some stage been one's mother.
Ani rangi sheba lai gyu sheba ngama yorwa sheba ngama gyu thoma meba ta ta dine thol sam ta ya chiro sang gorwa kewa la thoma meba ta di chitani di kabuji isi gorwa
Okay, so in order to cultivate this thought of recognizing beings as having been with one's mother, one needs to have a sense of the continuity of mind, that one's continuity of consciousness has come since beginningless time. And this is not an easy thought to cultivate. Okay, so that the existence of previous life is established on the basis of consciousness. It is the consciousness that goes from previous to future life, or past to future life. It is only the form aggregate we leave behind. And for the consciousness arises in dependence on consciousness, physical, so consciousness is not physical matter. Physical matter cannot be a substantial cause for consciousness. And so it is on the basis of the continuity of consciousness that the previous life is established, and at that time that person may or may not have a form aggregate, but or there are various forms of the form aggregate, or whether they have a form aggregate or not, but definitely they would have the four aggregates of feeling, discrimination, compositional factors, and consciousness. Okay, so you can see this is based on thing of beginningless previous lives, and that if one considers the one lifetime of taking, like a womb rebirth, at that time one needs a mother. And again, on the basis of beginningless previous lives, then one sentient being will have been one's mother many times. And that's not necessarily as a human. This being one's mother doesn't necessarily only refer to human life, because there, a mother is also part of like animal world. Many different rebirths also depend on that, on the mother. So overall, there is no sentient being who has not been once mother. And so we have this reflection on recognizing all beings as having once been one's mother. So if one begins with this, and the six cause and one effect meditation, if one begins with getting the sense of all beings having been one's mother, it makes, and getting kind of a conviction or some kind of confidence in that, it makes the later steps of the meditation easier to do.
That
Okay. Then the second step is remembering the kindness of the mother. That, and this is, one uses the example of the kindness of the mother of this life. And so whatever kindness was extended to one by one's mother, that is what one recalls of, in general, the looking after the child while it is about 9.5 months in the womb. Then once it's born, the mother has great affection and looks at it with loving eyes and calls it, sweet names. I wouldn't say, sweet names, and tries to protect it from suffering, tries to bring about their happiness. So this is the general kindness of the mother to her child. Okay, tambu de tambu soso mar
sam tadi jene ta ani so nye yung gorwa ta so pa nye yung gore tene par mar tene dare tene ani simje tamje lo so gorwa.
Okay, so in the beginning one remembers the kindness of one's mother in this way, and then one extends that understanding to that others who are dear to one and close, like one's father and so forth, have also been kind in this way, and then extending to that those who are strangers have shown that kind of kindness to one at some point, and then the enemy, the person one dislikes, has also been kind in that way. Okay, so then one comes to the third point of thinking to repay that kindness, that having received such great kindness, then one thinks on how one can repay that kindness. Okay, so then how does one reflect on that? One thinks that all these beings who have been so kind to oneself, what is the actual situation they're in? Are they experiencing happiness or are they experiencing suffering and unhappiness? Okay, so that in thinking to repay their kindness, then this brings one to think of their situation, which brings us back to the situations within cyclic existence that we talked about in the beginning, that they are experiencing the sufferings of birth, sickness, aging and death, and that these things are arising. One thinks about the causes that bring about those experiences, and by thinking of those causes, then one starts to think that to accomplish the method that will bring them to an enduring happiness. And so that's the reflection and brief, and then there's an extensive way of reflecting on this. Okay. So if we're going to think about this in an extensive way, then overall one is thinking about the situation of all sentient beings within cyclic existence, but one uses one's own mother as the example. And the example is if one's mother is blind, and you might say, well, if she's blind, but she's kind of sane and clear-headed, then she would be all right. But in fact, she's confused and a little crazy. And you would think, well, if she's confused and a little crazy, at least if she could walk steadily along, she'd be all right. But she's not. She's staggering all over the place. And then you might think, well, as long as the path is smooth and safe, then she'll be all right. But in fact, the path is not like that, and the path leads to like a deep, long cliff. And so a child seeing their mother in such a situation would think, I absolutely have to help help protect my mother in this situation. And so this is the analogy for sentient beings who are blind in the sense that they don't understand the methods that lead to a happy rebirth or to liberation. They are blind because they don't understand how to create the causes of those things. They aren't crazy in our ordinary worldly sense, but they are crazy in the sense of they are confused by afflictive emotion, that they are driven by anger and pride and the different afflictive emotions. They stagger in the sense that they are continually accumulating different negative karmas, and the path is unsafe because it is near the cliff that falls to the lower realms. And even if not the lower realms, they are at the cliff of always taking rebirth within cyclic existence. And so thinking on sentient beings' situation in this way, then one thinks, something needs to be done to protect them. And if I don't do it, then who will do it? So, So one develops this definite thought that one needs to accomplish the method that will bring them to an enduring happiness, and in this way repay their kindness. So this is the reflection on the point of thinking to repay their kindness. Okay. So then the fourth point is reflecting on love. And so one is, again, thinking of the overall situation of sentient beings, that they have temporary happinesses. If they have a happy rebirth, they may experience temporary happiness, but it is a contaminated happiness. And if they take a suffering rebirth, then they do not experience happiness within that rebirth. And an uncontaminated happiness is a happiness that arises through the power of meditating on the path. And so one generates this, one has gone through the sequence of reflecting on beings as having been one's mother. And so one comes to this thought of may they abide in happiness and may they have the causes of happiness. And having happiness in the causes of happiness, may they abide stably. And then you request blessings, please may I be able to bring this about. I myself will bring it about and request the blessings of the Lamas and Triple Gem in order to be able to do that. Okay, and so then there are, and one can extensively think about the cause of happiness. In terms of happiness, there is the happiness of attaining a happy rebirth. There is the happiness of liberation and the happiness of highest enlightenment or Buddhahood. So if one looks at the causes of that, the causes of a happy rebirth are the 10 virtuous actions. The causes of the happiness of liberation is the path of the 3 higher trainings. The causes of highest enlightenment is the awakening mind and the 6 perfections and so forth. So then in focusing on this, one begins with one's mother, then extends it to those who are the thought, to those who are dear to oneself, then to those who are strangers, and then extend again to those who seem as the enemy, and then extending to all sentient beings. So you reflect on it and then you kind of extend it out further and further to. So if we say, well, what is love? It is Love is the mind that is focused on sentient beings that lack happiness, and thinking, may that being have happiness. And that's the quality of love. So then the next point of reflection is cultivating compassion. So again, what is the quality of compassion? It is the mind that focusing on sentient beings wishes them to be free of suffering. And so one can cultivate, generally we feel compassion to an individual, but in this reflection we're extending compassion to focus on all sentient beings. Okay. So again, in cultivating compassion, one can focus on one's mother, or one can focus on whatever sentient being one sees as deeply pressed by suffering. And overall, again, thinking that all these beings have experienced the different sufferings of cyclic existence, the sufferings of birth, sickness, aging, and death. And one wishes them to be free of those sufferings, and free of those sufferings and the causes of those sufferings. And that may they abide free of them, may oneself bring it about, and requesting blessings to be able to do that. So again, with compassion, one begins with the focus on one's mother or whichever sentient beings, then extending it to those that feel are dear and close to one, extending it to strangers, extending it to the enemy, the person one dislikes, and then extending to all sentient beings. Okay, so again, if we say, well, what is the nature of compassion? That compassion is focusing on those who are oppressed by suffering and wishing them to be free of it. And then if one goes into detail about compassion, there are many different explanations on different aspects of compassion. So if one thinks about the causes of suffering, you have the causes of suffering of a suffering rebirth, and the causes of suffering in terms of the truth of suffering, which has gross and subtle aspects. In terms of the causes of suffering, of a suffering rebirth, this is the 10 non-virtues. In terms of the truth of suffering, we can assert the two, karma and afflictive emotion. And of the afflictive emotion, the principle of these is the obscured ignorance, that which is mistaken or not understanding the nature of reality. And so one reflects on these in terms of wishing beings to be free of the causes of suffering. Okay. And then one goes on to the sixth point, which is the supreme responsibility. So you have thought about, may these beings abide in happiness, may they be free of suffering. But one thinks that, and so one starts to think of taking responsibility oneself, that it is something oneself will bring about, even if it is difficult. And so one takes this supreme responsibility. Okay, so we are taking the responsibility, don't take responsibility oneself, and it's at this stage one is training the mind. One may not have made an actual kind of promise to do it, but one is training one's mind in this thought. And so then you come to the last point of the actual awakening mind. So the awakening mind, or bodhicitta itself, has two aspirations. And the first causal aspiration is the wish to accomplish the purpose of others. And so all these earlier meditation steps, from generating equanimity, tanyom ne ninje bardu ruva jendungi kewelo. Lasam badwi. Okay, so that all the reflections from equanimity through to the supreme responsibility is cultivating this first causal aspiration of thinking to fulfill the purposes of others. And then having had generated that aspiration, one sees at this point one is not able to do that. And that what would be the most powerful means to accomplish that. And one sees that the Buddha has the greatest power to cultivate the benefit of others. And so oneself, Sangye Gopan Tona. So, yeah. Loss. So that one's own in attaining Buddhahood, oneself, one will have the greatest skill or power to benefit others, to bring about their liberation from cyclic existence, their attainment of Buddhahood. And so therefore, one, from that causal wish of wishing to fulfill the purposes of others, one then thinks to attain one's own purposes by attaining enlightenment or attaining Buddhahood. And so the analogy is for this, if oneself is with other people and all of you are being carried up by a tide or by water, if you're all carried away, you cannot rescue someone from the water. But if you get yourself out of the water and can then do whatever is needed to get the others out of the water. And so in that same way, then thinking to attain Buddhahood in order to fulfill the purposes of others. Okay, so one has this wish to fulfill the purposes of others, and for that purpose one seeks to attain Buddhahood. And this is the aspiration of the altruistic mind, or bodhicitta. And when it arises spontaneously, it is what they call an uncontrived bodhicitta. But at this point in time, we have a contrived or an artificial bodhicitta that we train one's mind in. Yeah, you practice cultivating it. So you've gone through those stages to kind of reach that point of aspiration. Okay. So can you Okay. Alright, so do you overall have the sequence? Would you be happy to, are there questions, or are you happy to go on to putting a time for meditating on that sequence? So when we reflect on this, we are training our mind in it. The to come to the point of generating an uncontrived bodhicitta takes many lifetimes. But in this life, we train in it. But even by aspiring and making a prayer towards generating this mind accomplishes vast merit or vast positive potential. And if we refer back to the Bodhisattva's way of life, it says, just the thought that one being who has a headache be free of that headache is a thought that accomplishes vast merit. How much more the thought that wishes for limitless sentient beings to have happiness. So not just a few, but countless limitless beings. If we think of even, you know, that in summer the number of insects that are in this area, in this little area itself, you know, how many countless insects. And then on top of that, all the beings that live in this world, both not just human, but all kind of happy and suffering rebirths in this world, and then beyond this world to other universes. And you're not just wishing kind of a mere happiness for all these beings, you are wishing them the happiness of liberation and Buddhahood. And so you can see the power of that thought, by of training one's mind in that thought. Okay.
Give us a step by step.
Yes, room by room, but Songuru. Geshla kab kabla rimbala sungre so trembache. Okay. So the first thing is to say that if you use your alertness to check on whether your mind is wandering or not, and if you find your mind wandering, either focus on the breath to bring your mind back in and settle it on the meditation, or you can identify where the conceptual mind, the distractions arising from, think about where that distraction's coming from to bring your mind back and focus.
Okay, then. So, I will remind you step by step, okay? Yeah. And then, yeah, whatever your comfortable is.
Okay, so taking a comfortable position.
Maybe first you breathe, you know, breathing a little bit, okay? Breathing, and then I will remind you, okay? Yeah. That's it. Yeah, start, yeah.
Okay.
Okay, now equanimity, you know, first step, equanimity. Okay, now recognizing all sentient beings as our mothers. Now, remembering kindness. Repay the kindness. Thank you. Okay, next step is love, you know, love. Okay, next is compassion. the next is Supreme Thought. And then final bodhicitta.
Singer Deni Kiva Karius. So supreme thought is like determining, getting to the point where you think you'll take responsibility. So you have taken responsibility, and then you think, well, how am I going to do this? As an ordinary being, I cannot accomplish my wish. And the way that I have the skill and qualities to accomplish my wish is by attaining Buddhahood. So then you have your actual thought of bodhicitta, which has the two aspirations. One, to fulfill the purposes of others, and two, in order to fulfill their purposes of attaining Buddhahood, oneself aspires to attain Buddhahood. Yes, so it's, yeah.
Yeah, 제품 하셔. 미가 제주 봐. 뉴스 벽장 제 단초. 내가 심지에 남다. 난 심지에 담지랑 게 다 거기 미 봤어요. 다 안에 눈도 안에 지 갈 소리. 접신 봤어. 아예 접신. 제지.
오케이. So what we've done is like an analytical combination of analytical and glance where you're thinking about it and you're also kind of going through the stages, like bringing each stage to mind. And then in a combination, we can also meditate with the visualization of the triple gem or one's the merit field of the lamas and so forth in front of oneself, and oneself being surrounded by all sentient beings and light and nectar flowing from the front visualization merit view down to oneself and all being. Okay, so we'll stop here today. Okay, so we'll do a, we do the short